Today's episode is being sponsored by Kingsley 1945 Watches. To check out the Kingsley 1945 collection, go to www.amitdevhonda.com and click on the Kingsley 1945 collection on the upper right-hand corner. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I want to talk about whether Panerai's history is fact or fiction. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dev Honda, and welcome to my podcast. So, I want to talk about something today which I think is quite interesting and unique, and I don't think anyone's really brought it up till now. I have a friend named Jake Ehrlich. Jake is the leading authority on Rolex as far as reporting goes. He's got an incredible blog, which he's been publishing for the last, I'd say, 8 years, called Jake's Rolex World. He also has Jake's Panerai World. He's got Jake's Paddock World, and he's got a slew of other blogs. I've interviewed him for my podcast before. I consider him a friend and a colleague. Jake has teamed up with a gentleman named Jose from Periscope. He's got a couple of things that, you know, definitely are quite interesting when you look at sort of the facts versus the fiction. I'm not quite sure where he's getting this information from. I'm no way aligned or affiliated with either Jose or Jake, other than Jake is a friend. We bounce ideas off of each other. I think he's an incredible reporter, Jake. I think I've never met Jose, so Jake talks very highly of him, and I'm sure he's an amazing guy. But if you look at, you know, Jake's Panerai World or panerai world.blogspot.com, which belongs to Jake Ehrlich, he's got an article entitled Panerai Mythbuster: Separating Fact from Fiction. So Jake's whole thing is wanting to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When you look at certain photos, for instance, like the outside of the Panerai boutique in Florence, the image that they present in their catalogs is of the boutique, but on the bottom, you know, it says Officine Panerai, which, according to Jake and Jose, that image was manipulated. The original boutique said Orologeria Svizzeria. It didn't say Officine Panerai. So according to Jake and to Jose, that was definitely falsely manipulated. And you can see the images, their sort of take on it and their images, and one versus the other. The next thing that their false mythbuster number two, which they talk about, is the anonymous Panerai dial models were made from 1936 and 1938. Okay, again, according to Jake and to Jose, this was a falsely perpetuated myth suggesting that the anonymous dials were made, they were prototype dials made from 1936 to 1938. This is not true. These anonymous dials were both made in 1944, as you can see on the illustration. And I'm going to put a link to this article so you can reference this as you're hearing me talk about this as well. And those dials that we're talking about, the anonymous dials, are the 12369 dial with indices and blue hands. Panerai's claiming it was a special edition to commemorate a watch from 1936. It's not true. According to Jake and to Jose, this was done in 1944. And this includes, like I said, the 369 and 12 dial, sandwich dial, and also the infamous, iconic, and my favorite dial in history, the California dial, which was made by Rolex for Panerai. Interestingly enough, Rolex didn't file for the patent of the California dial till 1944. On this particular thing, okay, they may not have applied for it till 1944, but that doesn't mean they couldn't have made it before, they couldn't have made it before, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's debatable. You know, at that time they did prototypes. I don't know if they always filed patents exactly when those dials were made or, you know, whatever. And since maybe it was one of those things where Rolex made it for Panerai on their prototypes, realized the value of it and applied for it later. It could very well have happened. But not according to, you know, Jake or to Jose. You know, Jake is, again, a leading authority on Rolex, so I don't doubt that what he's saying is true at all. And I think a lot of times watch companies, when they can't, when they don't want to take the time to explain things, or they don't want to really dive deep into their history, which Panerai, I feel, and I agree with Jake, he wrote, you know, I don't think that Panerai is interested in their history. They basically just want to sell watches. I think that's a very, very true statement. As someone who's sold Panerai since, you know, the year 2000 and had a little something to do with, you know, the success of the brand, especially on the East Coast, and as a, you know, as an avid, you know, expert in watches myself, I concur with that. I think Panerai today is a very different brand than they were when I started. And when I started, at least it seemed like, even if they're perpetuating a false sense of their historic reality, at least they were interested in their history. So, you know, this definitely leads to an interesting question. If Jake and Jose are correct with what they're surmising from the information that they've gathered, why would Panerai not want to, like, clarify that? What would be the reason, you know? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense why they wouldn't want it to be more historically accurate. Or maybe they just don't know, or they don't have the information, or they've chosen to ignore it, because the information is out there, for sure. The next false myth, number three, according to Jake and to Jose, is that, you know, the 1940s case that Panerai advertises was actually not from the 1940s. This case was from 1953. So these cases simply did not exist in the 40s. And why Panerai uses 1940s, to me, sounds like a marketing case, but I don't know why they... I mean, they already have marketed the 1950 case, so they can't market it as a 1950 case, so they're saying it's a 1940 case. I don't know why they would do that. It's definitely strange. False myth number four, vintage Panerai 3646 for presentation purposes. So according to Jake and Jose, Panerai introduced two new models, which is true, in 2017, which are special edition watches, which are referenced PAM 685 and PAM 687. Panerai claimed these models were based on two Panerai reference 3646 Type A models that were produced in the late 1930s. Specifically, they said one of the most sought after historic radio mirror Panerai watches supplied by one of the most sought after historic radio mirror prototype watches supplied by Panerai in the late 1930s to the Royal Italian Navy. Panerai further claimed that these prototypes were made for presentation purposes from the late 1930s. If you look closely, these two models have exhibition case backs on the front of them, which makes no sense. Also, the exhibition case back is engraved with Officine Panerai around it, which is mentioned earlier in the same story and was used in the 1950s, never in the 1930s. For the record as well, the hands on these two watches are historically inaccurate, but, you know, Panerai uses these and they do look good. False myth number five, the truth behind PAM 203. So this is another, according to Jake and to Jose, it's another bizarre case of mistaken identity. In 2005, Panerai introduced a special edition known as the Panerai 203. I remember selling this watch when I was in retail. The retail, I think, was around $19,000, and it has traded as high as $150,000. Panerai claimed in a published press release that these were very special models featured a historic new old-stock Angelus 240 movement, which was supposedly found in the old stock of the original company. According to Jose from Periscope, who was the first to discover the extreme discrepancy and puts forth rock-solid proof that this was not true. In the future, Jake plans to and Jose plan to uncover the complete history of Panerai. So, according to Jake, as Jose so accurately articulated recently, and he's paraphrasing, he said that when Richemont's predecessor, the Vendôme Group, purchased the Panerai brand in 97, not much was known about the history of Panerai. But in the time since then, a lot more pieces of Panerai's history puzzle have come together. It seems like Panerai themselves are not really very interested in their own history, but simply focused on selling watches. So, again, why Panerai as a brand today owned by the Richemont Group would fail to, you know, I don't know if they got ahead of themselves and they just... The success of the brand happened so quick that they weren't really interested. Don't know. Very interesting. Very bizarre. So Giuseppe Panerai, he was the grandson of the founder of Panerai, Giovanni Panerai. He was born in Italy in 1903 and died at the age of 69 in 1972. His widow, Maria Panerai, is still alive and lives in Velino Panerai in Italy. Giuseppe Panerai, he was the guy, the grandson was responsible for developing all the amazing vintage Panerai watches with Rolex. Giuseppe, and now again, I'm reading from, you know, PaneraiBlogspot.com, which is owned by Jake Ehrlich. Giuseppe Panerai was the man most responsible for developing all the amazing vintage Panerai watches with Rolex. Giuseppe had an interesting habit. He was a pack rat of sorts who never wasted material or threw out old stuff. To make a long story short, back in the 80s and 90s, some people got a hold of a lot of Giuseppe Panerai's equipment and spare parts and did some strange stuff with it that ultimately may have led to the current state of the falsely perpetuated Panerai history. In the future, Jose and I plan to release much more information on the subject, which will completely boggle your mind. It's a very, very interesting thing that Jake has brought about. I myself am a little confused that, you know, why Panerai would do this. Again, I think there's a lot of evidence leading up to why, especially if, Giuseppe Panerai, the grandson of Giovanni Panerai's equipment, was manipulated and used and some strange things came out of it. That largely explains as to why Panerai's history is so wonky and messed up. But I'm really curious to see, is this fact or is it fiction, you know? And, you know, will Panerai, once it's really proven, because again, I don't have proof other than Jake saying that, you know, Jose has uncovered a lot of stuff and he has the information. I'd like to know what that information is exactly and how that proves yes or no. And I'd like to see if that's true, if Jake and Jose are right, which I think they are, will Panerai respond to this and how will they respond to it? What will they claim? What will their excuse be? It's very interesting. Panerai, again, is a very, very different brand. To me, one of the main reasons I like Panerai is because of their link to Rolex. And I realized that at a very, very young age in 2000. I mean, in 2000, I'm 42 now, so, you know, we're talking 18 years ago. And it's like, when I think about it, it just blows my mind, you know? It really, really blows my mind. So I don't know what the reality is. I was 24 years old when I started selling Panerai watches. And I can definitely tell you, I knew at that time before... I mean, again, there was no internet, really. The internet was just starting out. It wasn't something that was like the way it is now. You couldn't find information like the way you can find it, like within 3 seconds. You had to go to a library. You had to have watched specific books from leading experts at that time. And I definitely, at that moment, when we got the brand at the retailer that I was with, I immediately noticed the Radio Mirror case was basically essentially a Rolex pocket watch case. And I had brought that to the attention of the president at that time, who was Philippe Bonnet, who's the current president of GG LeCoultre. Or for those of you out there who are like, what the hell is he saying? Jaeger LeCoultre. And he was like, wow, how could you even gather that Panerai and Rolex are connected? But, you know, to me, Panerai, just like Rolex, Panerai's most incredible accomplishments are in their history. And, you know, to me, as a person with credibility and a person with integrity and, you know, colleagues who have integrity like Jake and, you know, Jose, I think this is something that, you know, these companies should be challenged on their history if they're not accurate. And if this is true that this has been misleading or mythic, what will Panerai do in the future to fix this historical inaccuracy? You know, will they even claim that they made a mistake if it's true? So watch out for my for more news as it unfolds. As I said, I will definitely put a link below to the article so you can see the pictures and diagrams that Jake has on, you know, Jake's Panerai World, which is panerai world.blogspot.com. Definitely stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in. And for all of those of you out there who have been, you know, religiously follow my podcast every week, I'm incredibly grateful to you for sharing it, for listening to it, for taking the time, for your interest. But I'd really like to hear from you. So please don't forget to like these podcasts. I mean, I'm completely self-funded. It's all my own original content. It's my own original thoughts. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you think. I'd like a review, some more reviews. I mean, I have reviews, but I'd like people to really review it and really give me their feedback because it means something to me. I'm providing this source to you because I feel it's important and I'd like to know what you think. So definitely do that. You can, you know, go on my podcast and it's syndicated on many different levels. The obvious one is on, you know, Apple, on iTunes. You can download it under your podcast app on your iPhone. If you go to adh.podbean.com, you can also listen to my podcast. You can listen to it on Google Play. You can listen to it in many, you can listen to it right off my website, www.amitdevhonda.com. Check out my website. I think it's really, really very packed with information. You know, you can read my world-renowned blog. You can listen to my podcast. You can engage my services. You can follow my Facebook live posts. I mean, you can check out the brand that I distribute, which is Kingsley 1945 Watches. They're style designed and hand assembled in Providence, Rhode Island by the Kingsley Watch Company. And I am proud to be a distributor of Kingsley 1945 Watches for the West Coast. I can help you do customizable things to these watches that no one else can because of my unique partnership with the owner and founder, Ramon Kingsley. Check me out on social media. My Twitter and my Instagram handles are at @AmitDevHonda. And if you want to engage my services, I charge a $150 consultation fee. Just go to www.amitdevhonda.com, click on the services tab in the upper right hand corner, scroll down to the bottom where it says PayPal me here. It's $150. It gets you an hour of my time on the phone, some emails. And if you buy a watch from me, I'll deduct the $150 fee that you paid. I'll apply that towards the final purchase price of the watch. Otherwise, that's my fee for my time, and it's non-refundable. And until next time, rock on and fly back.